The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
When something's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. Get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/brain. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/brain to get 10% off your first month now. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello and welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain. My name is Paul Coliani and I'm here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on this show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. All right, I thought it would be a good idea to talk about something that came across my desk, and that is an idea that you may have heard about before, and that is who you surround yourself with. You're kind of the sum of those people. It's from an old Jim Rohn quote that says you are the average of the people that you hang around with most. And I'm paraphrasing, but you get the idea. Is who you end up being, how you end up feeling, how you end up thinking, and how you see the world are really interconnected, or at least related or associated with somehow to the people in your life, because you are affected on a daily basis if you see these people on a daily basis. And even when you don't, even when you see them on a weekly or monthly basis, some people can kind of linger around in your brain and your thoughts are preoccupied with them and you're not exactly in your own space. So what ends up happening is that the people that you hang around the most, even if you're not thinking of them specifically, like I am thinking of Joe right now, if I'm not thinking of Joe, Joe still affects me. And this can be good and this can be bad. This can be good if Joe affects me in a positive way every time I see Joe. I'm just making up a name here. Every time I see Joe, I feel good. And it's very helpful to understand that feeling. And it's not just feeling good, it's I'm feeling good about myself. And I think that's what differentiates healthy, positive relationships from either benign relationships, acquaintances, or on the other end, unhealthy, toxic relationships, is that who we relate to and associate with and connect to and are intimate with and are friendly with, all of these people have an influence on us. So when you walk around in your own thoughts, they are still influenced by the people around you. And the reason I want you to make sure that that's understood, I mean, I know you understand it, but I'm trying to drill it in there, is because sometimes you might think, well, I haven't seen that person in 6 months. And I'm not going to see that person again for another 6 months. So life's good until then. But there's a small part of you that doesn't want to see that person. You know, let's talk about someone who's toxic, someone who doesn't affect you well, someone when you're around them, you don't feel good, or especially, and this is sort of my definition of emotional abuse as well, is that you don't feel good about yourself. Emotional abusers will do that to you. They will cause you to not feel good about yourself. So you might feel bad in the first place, but imagine on top of that, you feel bad about yourself. And there's a difference there. I hope that makes sense. There's a big difference in feeling bad and feeling bad about yourself. That's like saying, I feel bad that I got a flat tire because now I have to deal with it. And it's, you know, it's effort and it's inconvenient. And maybe I don't have a tire. Now I got to go buy a tire. So there's all kinds of variables when you get a flat tire, for example, if you don't know how to change it, or if you don't have a spare, or if you don't even have the strength to work the jack to lift the car. There's a lot of variables. So it's easy to say, I feel bad that I got a flat tire. You may not use those words, but you feel something about it. You feel negativity. That's different than saying, I feel bad about myself that I got a flat tire. Because that changes the feeling. And flat tire is not necessarily the best example about saying something like, I feel bad about myself, unless, it could be totally related, unless you beat yourself up and say, you know what, I should have gotten that spare tire when I had a chance. I was in the auto store and they said I should have one, but I never did. So I'm kind of worthless. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. And at that moment, we can feel bad about ourselves. But some people know how to do that. I mean, some of us do that to ourselves all the time, but other people know how to do that to us to keep us in a bad feeling about ourselves state. So when you're walking around not feeling very good about yourself, and in fact feeling bad about yourself, it could be directly attributed to what somebody did or said to you or how they treated you. So coming back to the person you don't see for 6 months and you're happy and you feel good about that, there's still the seed that's blossoming or growing or spreading its roots inside your mind that because they're in your life in some way, shape, or form, and there's a future time that you're going to see them and connect with them, that the seed stays watered. The seed of feeling bad about yourself. And that can include a lot of stuff. Self-doubt, self-worth, self-esteem, even loving yourself, caring about yourself, thinking you're a good person, thinking you're attractive, thinking you're smart. All of these things are affected by the negative people that you have ever associated with and that you are going to continue associating with. And so it's important to understand that that exists. The people that affect your life, even when they're not in it, they still affect your life. Now, that doesn't mean somebody 20 years ago that treated you badly is still in your mind, because maybe you did some healing. Maybe you're over that. Maybe the trauma happened and now you no longer have trauma and you feel pretty good. So, you know, don't listen to Paul saying, hey, now you should feel bad because they're always there. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when there are people like that in your life that have a negative impact, that it can absolutely continue to preoccupy your mind, even subconsciously, while you're walking around, even feeling good about yourself. So these are kind of the very deeply, very ingrained almost subconscious patterns that can happen while you walk around and suddenly you're in a bad mood and you're like, why am I in such a bad mood? Because things like that, you know, every time we think about something, we make these neural associations where I'm having a thought of drinking a glass of water, and then having that thought brings me to the beach that day when I drank that glass of water and it felt so good. But on the beach that day was my stepfather, and he made a comment that really embarrassed me or made me feel ashamed. And you could have a thought process that starts off benign, drinking a glass of water, that reminds you of something that somebody did to you. Now, a healed person, or at least somebody that healed from that event. That event, when recalled, won't have the negativity it used to have. Again, when I think about having that glass of water that reminds me of being on a beach, which reminds me of my stepfather and what he did or what he said to me that day, and there's a negative emotion that was there before, but because I processed it, because I healed from that and I allowed myself to actually bring it up for processing. You know, sometimes we think about things and we're like, oh, I don't want to think about that. Let's just move on. I try not to do that. When something comes up, I go, whoa, where did that come from? Let's visit that. Let's bring that up for processing. Let's think about that. Let's talk about that. Let's try to heal from this so I can move on. So the next time I have this thought that associates to another thought that associates to another thought that makes me feel bad, I won't have to feel bad. So now I can live my life with less stress, less worry, less anxiety, because I chose to take this small thought that popped up out of the blue and deal with it. And there's all kinds of ways to deal with thoughts. We talk about that on this show all the time. But I think just acknowledging, whoa, there's a thought there that makes me feel bad. And again, if it makes you feel bad about yourself, it definitely has to be addressed, because that's what you're carrying around. When you're carrying around thoughts that make you feel bad about yourself, even if that thought started 20 years ago, if it's still in there, and every time you have the memory pop up and it makes you feel that way, then that feeling's still in there too. And when that feeling's in there, it can be recalled. It can pop up out of the blue. It can ruin your day, or at least your moment. And now you want to move on again, but geez, you know, it would be nice if these thoughts didn't pop up so I didn't have to feel bad when it happened. Well, this again brings us back to who we are associating with nowadays and who we have associated with in the past and who we're going to associate with in the future. If I am the average of the five people that I hang around most, who are those people? And when I think about those people, do I respect them? Do I like them? Do I care about them? Do I love them? Do I admire them? Do I want to be somewhat like them in some small way? I mean, you may not answer yes to all these questions, and they can still be great people. But when you answer yes to most of those questions, you're probably around pretty good folk, pretty good people. So when you have more yeses than you do no's, you know, think about the no's. Does the no have a negative association to it? Or is it just, well, you know, that guy or that girl is just a little crazy. I love her to death, but I definitely don't want to be like her. But do I get a bad feeling if she does or says something a little weird or a little strange or something that she doesn't even realize she's making me feel bad? These are good questions to ask yourself when you're around the people you're around. Because, you know, we hang around our family and sometimes that's great and sometimes it's not. And sometimes we don't have a choice. But sometimes we have a lot of choices. Hey, we're going to go to this a group of people and that one person's going to be there. I know you don't like that one person, but everyone else is going to be great. So why don't you come with me? Your thought might be, yeah, but I don't like that one person and I don't want to go. And that one person being there is going to ruin my experience. You have a right to say no, of course. And you also have the ability to address why that person bothers you, and hopefully you're able to process it and figure it out so that the next time you see them, they don't bother you anymore. I know there's a lot of deep psychological stuff that we can talk about regarding that, and we might get into that a little bit today, but today is about the step one of this whole process is asking yourself, who do I hang around, and are they good for me? Are they healthy for me? Are they people that make me feel better about myself, or at least better. If they don't have any effect on you whatsoever, I'm not too concerned about those people. But if they have a negative effect on you, then I think that's important. I think that's a good idea to understand that these particular people have this negative effect on you. And knowing that even though you may not, like, say, have an argument with them, and maybe you only argue every 6 months, maybe it's some big fight, but you still have the trepidation inside of you that, oh, gee, I hope they don't bring up that subject. What are you carrying around? I mean, that's what you're carrying around. I'm not saying there's an easy solution to this. I'm saying that it's important to acknowledge this and understand it and validate it in yourself. If you know you feel bad or feel bad about yourself because of your interactions with particular people in your past, in your present, or in your future, I mean, you may not know everyone you're going to meet in your future, but you certainly know that you'll probably see this person again in your future, which might bring in some anxiety, might bring in some stress. There might be a sadness or an anger or some sort of upset there. And when you acknowledge that, oh, there's some upset there, there's some negativity there, let me explore that. Why do I respond so badly? Why do I have this negative feeling? And your feelings may absolutely be valid. Well, I have this negative feeling because that person stole from me, or that person betrayed me. So now we have something to work on, because you don't want to walk around feeling like that. I'm going to make a guess. I'm going to guess that you don't want to walk around feeling bad, or at least have these moments that you feel bad because you think of that person or you think about that time in your life. You don't want to feel that, but I'm here to say that you probably also don't want to stuff it back down when it comes up. And this is where we need to acknowledge it. Hello, it's there. Oh yeah, that's there. What are you doing there? What's this about? You know, that's, again, my process. Where did this come from? When did this start? Why do I feel this way? Or something more specific. What specifically? What behavior? What exact thing makes me feel this way? And I might even explore that further. I like to do the drill down technique where, okay, now that I know what makes me feel that way, why does that make me feel that way? And I'll drill down even further. Okay, so I know why it makes me feel that way, but why is it so important to me? Why do I care so much? Why am I so affected? Because there are probably other times in your life with other people that have affected you in a negative way, in a similar way, where you can look at them and go, yeah, when that person said that, it didn't affect me as much. But when this person said that, it affected me. Why? And you explore it. You question it to death. You question it. You keep asking why. You keep asking what caused this. And you might even go further and say, well, what's so bad about that? If you've been listening a while, you've probably heard me ask that. What's so bad about that? Well, he made me bleed. He hurt me, or she yelled at me. She betrayed me, whatever it is. And it could be the worst pain you've ever felt. But asking yourself, well, what's so bad about that? It takes you out of your stuff and allows you to look at it from a distance. And when you look at it from a distance, you can look at that and really have a conversation with yourself, be your own coach, be your own parent, and say, okay, how is that a problem? What's so bad about that? It's not that it's not bad. It's that we've put this box around it and said, anything in this box is bad. But we never open the box and pick it apart and figure out, well, maybe not every single component is bad, but this one component is. What is it about that component that makes me feel bad or makes me feel bad about myself? So again, I talk about drilling down and taking these things apart in other episodes, but I wanted to give you something in case you haven't heard those episodes. It is the idea of questioning yourself, really sitting with it. Like, I used to experience jealousy, and it might even pop up every now and then. Like, my girlfriend's talking to an ex, and they get along great, and I don't like the idea that they get along great now. How do I feel about this? So if that comes up, I like to deal with it. Like, what? Where is this coming from? You know, my beginning question. Where did this come from? And then I like to explore, well, when was the first time I ever felt jealous? I think that's a great starting question. When was the first time I ever felt this way? Who was there? What was happening? Who was involved? What was going on at that time? And you start to unpack what was happening around that time so that you understand when jealousy started for you. Not jealousy in the now where, let's just say, where we're using my example, if I get jealous from something my girlfriend does or a person she's talking to, I'm not going to say, well, why am I jealous now? I'm going to ask myself, why did I get jealous the first time I got jealous? I mean, of course, I'm going to ask myself, why am I getting jealous now? Because this leads to this. But when I'm thinking about the first time I felt what I'm feeling and I'm thinking what I'm thinking, I'm going to ask myself, well, what's going on in that moment that makes me jealous? Why am I jealous? Why is it so important? Why does it matter to me so much? What am I jealous about? So it's going to be different for everyone. It might be jealousy. It might be anger. It might be hurt. Another emotional pain or wounding of some sort that you have to deal with. But question it to death. And I like to question it until I'm exhausted and can't figure out how much more I need to figure out. Meaning, I don't know what else to ask. Well, why does it upset you? Well, it upsets me because I don't want her running away with another guy. And then I'll question that. Oh, you think she's going to run away with another guy? Well, no, I don't think that at all. In fact, I think we have a very stable relationship. Oh, okay, so now I'm starting to challenge my own beliefs. Okay, so you think that you have a great relationship, but you get jealous when she talks to another guy. Well, maybe she'll see something in him that she doesn't see in me. Okay, so are you still worried that she's going to run away with him? No. Well, then what's the problem if she sees something in him that she doesn't see in you? Well, then I'll feel inferior. So I'm asking myself, I'm challenging myself. Okay, you'll feel inferior. How is that a problem? And I'll ask, well, what do you mean? How is that a problem? I think that's a big problem. I don't want to feel inferior. I want to feel masculine. I want to feel attractive. Do you not feel attractive now? Well, I don't know if I feel like an attractive person, but I know she's attracted to me. Well, then if she's attracted to you, then what is the problem of her finding this other quality in someone else where you already know she's not going to leave you and you already know that she finds you attractive? So what's the problem? I want to keep challenging myself. I want to keep challenging my paradigm, my beliefs, so that I'm not stuck in the original box of that thought and that fear and any upset that I've enclosed in that box regarding that subject. Because using the example of jealousy, jealousy comes up. It has a definition for me. I may not say it means this, but I know what it feels like. And I know the thoughts I have. And all of these components get locked in this box so that every time I have jealousy, that box opens up and says, this, 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 and this, and this now exist. Now you feel bad. Now you have an emotional trigger. It's going off and you have these thoughts and you don't want to deal with it and you don't want to feel it and you just want her to stop. All of these components make up this box. I like to rip open the sides of the box and just flatten it out and just spread everything out there, not only to be addressed, but also to get out of my box thinking. Because when it comes to box thinking, you never actually think outside the box, because box thinking is when you don't think outside the box. Most people don't often think to ask yourself, how is being jealous a problem? I mean, it's just a question that doesn't come up. How is being sad a problem? I mean, if you hear that, then either someone's very advanced in their therapeutic techniques, or, I mean, not trying to pat myself on the back, but it's just a question you don't hear, or they're insensitive and don't care. And so if somebody asks you that, if they're insensitive and don't care, you probably don't want to be talking to them. But someone who has advanced techniques to help you think outside the box, it can be very helpful to have a question like that, especially when it comes from yourself. If you can come up with these questions yourself, when there's a problem that you know is a problem, and then you ask yourself, well, how exactly is that a problem? Or why is that a problem? Or what's the problem with that? Questions like that challenge your old belief systems. Because your old belief system says, when I'm sad, it's a problem. Well, how is it a problem that you're sad? How is that? Well, I don't want to be sad. I don't like being sad. Why don't you like being sad? I don't understand. It's almost as if you approach yourself from a child's perspective, as if they didn't know what emotions were supposed to be bad or good. So that might be something you can take away from this episode, is that when you're trying to help yourself through these emotional challenges that come up for you, and when they come up, to step away from that and see yourself over there. And from a child's perspective, you don't know what's good or bad. You don't know what's right or wrong. You're just intensely fascinated and curious about all these things that are coming up in you. And so you're going to ask these questions. Oh, you're sad about that? Why are you sad about that? Well, I'm sad because, you know, so-and-so did this and they said that. And then the child would ask, well, why would that make you sad? And they just ask these questions that to an adult, the adult goes, well, it's obvious why it would make me sad. But to a child, now you have to explain it. Now you have to tell them why it's sad. And what that does, this is very good, it helps you open the box. It helps you rip it apart, helps you break it apart. And you become the teacher of your own emotional state. You become the teacher of your own problems. And if you can teach your problem well enough to that naive, innocent, childlike person that's asking these questions, you can break it down to the point where it doesn't affect you as much or at all. That breakdown process can happen. So I want you to think about that every time a challenge comes up, every time a bad feeling comes up. And to wrap up what I talked about in the beginning of this episode about the people you hang out with, it stemmed from an email that I got. What'd she say? She said, it's taken years of therapy and good topics like the ones you discuss in your podcast to understand that I have been surrounded by narcissists and manipulative people. It was all I knew and how I thought every human being was. And so she said, now I'm taking my time to heal and be happy with myself and make life valuable and memorable. And every now and then I wonder, how can I trust someone again? So she has these thoughts that come up because she's been, or at least in her past, been surrounded by manipulative people, narcissistic people. And she didn't even know she was, because she didn't really have a comparison to anyone outside of that circle of people that she was with. She may have seen good behavior in other people, but she probably spent the majority of her time with the kind of people that made her feel bad about herself. And, you know, manipulative, narcissistic people will do that. They know how to do that. They want to keep you in that low space. They want to keep you feeling inferior in yourself and feeling bad about yourself. Because if you're always feeling bad about yourself, they feel like they're in control. They feel like they're in power. If they can make you feel guilty or sad, then you're not going to have too many independent thoughts. And if you don't have too many independent thoughts, you're going to depend on them to complete your thoughts, to do anything for yourself, which means you might have to ask them for permission, or you might be afraid to do things for yourself because of what they'll say. It's all a power model that keeps you submissive and in your place. And this is the only life she knew for the longest time, until she started, you know, listening to podcasts like this or reading self-help or going to therapy. This new world opened up for her and she realized, oh, the people I'm around the most have a negative effect on my filters. They have a negative effect on my perception of life. My reality doesn't have to be what it has been. So she decided to change who she was around the most. This can be a huge boost in your life, even with good friends that you have. You can have a good friend that wears you down, that de-energizes you, that makes you feel not good, that makes you feel bad. If you have a friend that you have a great time with, but there's still that seed of making you feel bad or making you feel bad about yourself, or you can't explain how they make you feel, but you don't like it, then there might be something about that person that's doing that that you haven't figured out that you should. You should absolutely figure out why the way they show up, why it causes you to feel the way you do. Because if you don't figure it out, then you go around with these emotions inside of you that haven't been processed, haven't been healed, and need to be, and your life just isn't as fulfilling as it could be, or maybe not at all. You just can't figure it out. There's a lot of people that walk around, I just can't figure out why I feel so bad. I could tell you this, I may not be 100% right about this, but I think I'm pretty darn close when I say that any memory that you have that you can conjure up right now that makes you feel bad when you think about it, the number of memories that make you feel bad, they compound and they create the foundation of your emotional state. I mean, all the good and bad memories, they all create the foundation of your emotional state. And if you have quite a few bad ones in there, then that is the foundation, sort of your home base. So that when you are having a good day and then suddenly you don't, suddenly you think of something and now you're having a bad day, but you're not sure why. I'm going to say with 99% surety that the memories that make you feel bad because they haven't been processed, because you haven't healed from them, are probably affecting you today, or most likely affecting you today. So when you're having a good day and suddenly it's a bad day and you don't know why, most likely has something to do with something that happened in your past that you just haven't processed and healed through yet. And this is the kind of stuff that you have the opportunity when it pops up to say, oh, you're still there. You're in there. I got to take care of this. I got to question this. I got to tear this apart. I got to open the box and throw the box away and spread it all out in front of me and really question it with that childlike perspective so that I don't hold on to it anymore. The more you do this, the more you heal. And the more you heal, the more you feel better about yourself and you move forward and you start making better decisions and your intuition's better and your trust in yourself is better and your self-esteem and your self-worth and your self-love, everything starts to increase because of the stuff that you choose to process and heal from. This is why when we hold on to stuff, yes, life can be great, and I don't want to take that away from you. If you don't want to deal with any of this stuff, you don't have to. But life can be amazing when you're able to heal through this stuff. And if you're not ready to tackle that stuff, you don't have to. I'm not saying that life is going to be terrible unless you do this. It's not that at all. Because life can be 99% fantastic, and every now and then you have this bad memory that comes up and you don't want to deal with it, and you stuff it back. Not recommended, but sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes the pain is too great. And that's okay, because if the rest of your life is going along well, then carrying around a bad memory or two, it's just going to have to be the way it is. And you can be okay with that. So I just want to make sure that you're not taking away the idea that you have to do this or you're going to be miserable. No. But if you just suddenly have these bad days or anxiety attacks or other things, maybe that's the best place to look. And the two places are the memories that give you those bad feelings and the people that give you those bad feelings, because all of it has a compound effect. And what you're carrying around is all down in there in your subconscious place or sometimes conscious place that is ready to come up as soon as something triggers it. And the less you have that comes up when you're triggered, the more you heal from it, the less you'll be triggered and the less it'll have any effect on you. And then that way you can think about that time on the beach when you drank that glass of water and you saw your stepfather and he did or said something terrible to you. You can go, guy's an idiot. that event, I don't even care about that anymore. I never even think about it anymore. That event no longer affects me. And what ends up happening is that the feelings that you had, let's just say that that was the first time you felt a low self-worth feeling. The feeling that you had then, when it's eradicated back then, has a magical effect over time today. So once you're able to heal and process that, today you feel different. When you have that memory pop up and you go, oh, I don't feel like that anymore. I'm not angry at that anymore. I just feel sorry for that guy. And that kind of resolves itself back then so that you can look at any events that happen today in a much, much different way. And that can change everything. That can change your life. I hope this has been helpful. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be right back. I want to tell you about BetterHelp. So stay tuned for a couple minutes while I tell you about that great, great service. And after that, I'm going to say my thank yous and my goodbyes and my final words. So stay tuned for that as well. We'll be right back. You know, I was talking about advanced therapeutic techniques and the people that are out there that can actually ask you the right questions and say the right things to make you think. I'm talking about BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You get to connect in a safe and private online environment, and it's just so convenient. And in today's day and age, I mean, as I'm recording this, we're still in the pandemic. People still have to stay in lockdown and they're afraid to connect with other people. You know, not everyone, but a lot of people are afraid to catch it or spread it. And rightly so. So if you are in that space and you want counseling, but you're worried about not only connecting with other people in person, but maybe even about the price, I've not seen anything better than BetterHelp. I really like that this service has come to fruition because it's just, like I said, it's so convenient. It's not like a self-help thing. It's actually professional counseling. So you don't just go on there and watch a bunch of videos. It's live. It's like interactive. And you can interact with them in several ways. You can do the messaging back and forth, which is a private little area that you can message your counselor back and forth. And a lot of people like that. I mean, that is something that I didn't understand until I started doing email coaching a long time ago. I don't do it anymore, but a lot of people really, really liked the approach of messaging back and forth. It's their own private system. It's all confidential. Your information won't go anywhere. It's just between you two. But like I said, a lot of people liked that. They really appreciated that they could feel comfortable behind the screen. They could feel safe and be their genuine selves, because they felt safe behind the screen. I mean, that's kind of what the messages that were sent to me when I was doing this kind of coaching is that I feel so safe and I can cry and you won't see me cry. And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't want to be vulnerable in that way. And that option is available through BetterHelp. I mean, they also offer weekly phone or video sessions as well. So if you're not the type of person that wants to type everything out, you can do it over the phone, you can do it over video, and again, all without ever having to leave your home or your car or wherever you want to do it. And you never have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room, so there's a bonus as well. But I highly recommend you check out BetterHelp. You can go to betterhelp.com, H-E-L-P, and make sure you use the code word BRAIN, so betterhelp.com/brain. And you'll get 10% off your first month. And it's just worth trying. I mean, give it a shot. If you are in any kind of negative space and you're dealing with a number of things that they deal with, self-esteem issues, family conflicts, anger, trauma, sleeping, relationships, you name it, they deal with it. It's very convenient. It is definitely professional. It is definitely affordable. And check out their testimonials to back everything I'm saying up. BetterHelp.com, HELP.com/brain. Get 10% off your first month today. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to remind you, you just heard it. Go to betterhelp.com/brain and get connected with someone who can help you through your challenges. I'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show. And also, I'd like to thank the patron members for supporting the show over at patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. There are several patrons of the week. I'd like to thank Andrea, Henry, Callie, Christy, Julia, Anna, Lisa, and Chelsea. I appreciate you. They are monthly supporters of the show, and I just wanted to acknowledge them. I never get a chance to acknowledge them, so I appreciate you. Everyone It's in the Patreon program. I am grateful. You can show your support by going to patreon.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. If you find value in this show, if you're getting some changes that are benefiting you, or just like to hang out with me once a week and want to show your support, head over to patreon.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. You can do a monthly patronage or a single donation, totally up to you. And of course, if you're in the Patreon program, you get all those free episodes and workbooks and the video archive and all kinds of things that are going on over there. Thank you, patrons. I appreciate you. And of course, if you can't support the show through the Patreon program, share the show. Tell people about it. Let them know that this show is great, if you think it's great. If you don't think it's great, tell them, oh, that was the worst show I ever heard. You should listen to it. Because either way, it'll be the same result. And I want people to listen to this show. I want the world to be in a better place. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help the world be in a better place. And it's a selfish endeavor. Yes, I want the world to improve, to prosper, to be happy. It is a selfish endeavor, because if the world is happier and I am in the world and there's happy people around me, then I'm happier. It's a very selfish thing. But at the same time, I mean, I really don't think I'm selfish, but at the same time, it is. It's a selfish pursuit. I want the world to be happier. I want the people around me to be happier. It makes my life happier. It makes my life easier. And if people are improving themselves and feeling better, then I like to be around those people. Just like I was talking about earlier, the people that you surround yourself with most affect you. You are the sum of those that you hang around with most. And when you're hanging around nice, happy people, it can trickle down to you in a way that makes you feel good. And even better, good about yourself. Because good people make you feel good about yourself. That's how I like to see it. So thank you, everyone, that's sharing the show and telling others about it. I also want to remind you to tune into the podcast Love and Abuse over at loveandabuse.com. If you're experiencing any type of challenging relationships, again, we mentioned that in this show, challenging, toxic, unhealthy relationships, that's where you can find information and episodes that talk about the difficult relationships and emotionally abusive, psychologically abusive, manipulative, controlling relationships. I talk about all kinds of stuff over there, but it's really a place that if you're having a challenge and you're scratching your head and you don't know what to do in the relationship that you're in, whether it's a family, friend, or romantic relationship, that might be the show you want to listen to. Loveandabuse.com is where you can find that. And finally, I'd like to thank Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. Oh, I almost forgot. There were a couple people that left iTunes reviews, so I'll kind of wrap it up with this and some comments on it. Somebody named Kowatar from Morocco. Oh, look at that. I don't know if I said it right. Kowatar? I'm so sorry if I'm destroying your name there, but this person wrote, I am thankful. I finally found something that helps me maintain my mental health. I'm going through a hard period, and this podcast is helping me seeing things clearly. I need your email address. I'd love to share my story. Okay. Kowatar, I apologize if I don't say that right. You can go to my website, theoverwhelmedbrain.com, and click on the contact link and send me an email through there. I do ask that you be kind in a way where you understand that if 50,000 plus people listen to this show and all of them wrote me a 20-page email, that I would never have time to do the show and I would never have time to read it because I do other things outside the show. So I would recommend that if you want me to get through that email, that you don't make it so long that it's really hard to get to. So that's just kind of a behind the scenes view of how things can happen over here. Is if you've ever written to me and you're wondering, why didn't he ever write back? Why didn't he ever talk about it on the air? What is wrong? You know, why is he ignoring me? That jerk. If you've ever had that thought after you've written to me, it's probably because I get so many emails that I just can't keep up. But I do keep them all. And eventually I do get to them. Might be a year later, but I do get to it. And I eventually either write back or talk about the topic on the air. And some emails I'll get to right away. And I just can't tell you which ones those are going to be. And it's just a matter of aligning the topic that I'm talking about that week sometimes. But do know that I do receive them. I read them. I appreciate them. and I can't always acknowledge them by writing back. But don't be surprised if somewhere down the road I write back and say, thank you so much for this email. I'm sorry I'm so late with my reply. But yes, Kawartar, however you say your name, from Morocco, thank you for the review. And that's how you can reach me. And I'm so grateful for your words. Thank you. And somebody else wrote, Take Control of the Life You Want by Anna Sofian. I think I said that right. This person says, this podcast has changed my life. I've listened to most episodes. I honestly feel like I'm going to therapy. He keeps it real. By far the best podcast I've found for self-growth and self-betterment. The more I continue to heal, the stronger and more I enjoy life. Wow, talk about tying up my last point in a nice bow, in a nice package. That's a great testimonial to everything I was just talking about. They finished by saying, keep up the great work and I'll continue to spread the word. Thank you so much, Anna Sofian. I appreciate your words. I'm so glad that you're getting something from the show. And you tied it up nicely. The more I continue to heal, the stronger I am and the more I enjoy life. I'm telling you, no matter what happened to you in your past, it can be devastating. You can heal. I'm not saying that you won't feel bad. You know, I think about some of the stuff that happened in my past, and there's a difference between feeling emotionally wounded and unable to get past it, and it puts you in a funk for hours or days or longer. There's a difference between that and feeling bad. It's sort of like on the episodes where I talk about guilt. You know what? If you did something that makes you feel guilty, you have some healing to do. It may not happen right away, but it has to happen. Because holding on to guilt, that has a lot of other emotions tied to it. And if you can heal from that guilt so that when you think about what you did, it's no longer permeating in guilt, but you do feel bad. It's just night and day. Because I told this story before, when I was in my late 20s, I think, brought my cats to a shelter because I was too young and immature to handle them, take care of them. And I wasn't smart enough to give them away to someone else. I just took them to the shelter because I thought that's what you do. And then for many, many years, I held on to the guilt that I took them there. You know, I grew up. I got more mature. I understood that animals have feelings and there they are in the cage. And I feel sad when I think about it now. I still have sadness and I still feel bad. But I had to get beyond the guilt. And, you know, again, listen to my episodes on guilt if you're dealing with guilt, but I'm just using that as an example because if you can get past whatever is the most major feeling that you have, especially when it has other emotions connected to it, because guilt can have regret and internal dialogue about your self-worth and your own level of intelligence. There can be all kinds of things wrapped in guilt. So that's why it's important that you deal with this and you process it and don't just accept it as it is. Well, I did something terrible. I feel guilty and I have all these other emotions tied to it. So that's just the way it is. There's nothing I can do about it. No, there is. Everything we talked about today and all the other episodes I've done that help you process negative emotions, help you release and heal and move on. Like I said, it doesn't necessarily take away everything. I mean, it can. I've had that happen to me too, is that, you know, when you think about that one thing that happened to you or many things that happened to you, it is possible you don't feel bad anymore. You can get to that point. I would love that. But in this case where, you know, I brought my cats to the shelter, I kind of want to feel bad about that. There's like an ownership feeling. Not only that, but I want to feel bad to remind me how I need to treat every other animal in my life. From the point I healed from my guilt, I made a promise to myself that I would always treat every animal to the best of my ability, giving them love, giving them attention, giving them everything that they need to have the best life possible. So that really changed my life. I don't know whatever happened to them, but I don't want my thoughts to be continuously around how guilty I feel because I left them there. I want my thoughts to be on what I can do going forward from that point on so that it never happens again. So that's why I like the idea of holding on to that bad feeling, because it doesn't like stay with me like in a funky state. It just feels bad when I bring it up. And then when I move on, I know I'm doing the best I can now. I know that I am doing all the right things. So, you know, this episode is not necessarily about guilt, but whatever comes up for you, whatever feelings that you have that you haven't processed, that you haven't healed from, if you're dealing with the emotions that you can name, you know, look in my archive. I've got almost 7 years of episodes that can be very helpful in that particular area. So if you're looking up depression, anxiety, sadness, breaking up, all kinds of things, people dying on you, that hurts as well. Go to theoverwhelmedbrain.com, use the search engine, or actually there's a link in there that says all podcast episodes, and you can see the entire list of shows that I've ever done. And then you can use like Control F on your browser and look for like keywords. Like I'm going to look up divorce, and you'll see every title that I have in there on divorce. So you'll figure it out. There's all kinds of ways to find out what episodes I've done, but big backlog. I want you to check it out if you're dealing with that kind of stuff. But here's, like I said, proof. This person who wrote this iTunes review, thank you for your review. I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the time to do that and sharing with the world that the more you continue to heal, the stronger you feel and the more you enjoy life. That's what it's all about. I love that, to tie all of this stuff into a nice bow and hopefully give you that gift. I want you to create this gift yourself so that you can open it up one day and suddenly you feel better. Wouldn't that be nice? Just suddenly you feel better. But it can happen. I've processed things in my head and dealt with the emotions. I've had good cries. I've had angry moments and all of the stuff that I've had to deal with in the past. When I was able to really tear it apart so it doesn't affect me anymore, suddenly I felt better. And I like to look at that as reaching the bottom. It's like I dove into the pool and I'm swimming down and I'm swimming deeper and I'm getting deeper. The pool is really deep and the pressure is building as I get deeper and deeper, and I'm holding my breath and I don't know if I can hold my breath anymore, and it's just miserable. We can go through life like that. We're miserable and it feels like we have to hold our breath, or we can feel the pressure and it's just a miserable feeling and we just want to breathe again. Just want to breathe. And so it's getting darker and deeper and the pressure is building and you just can't take it anymore. So you hit bottom. You hit the bottom of the pool. There's nowhere else you can go. You're either going to drown or you're going to have a breakthrough. And when you hit bottom, there's only one place to go. You want to go up, and you want to go up fast. You're like, I'm sick of this. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want to heal. I want to get through this. And so the metaphor of the pool is you hit the bottom and you have nowhere else to go. You can't go any further down. You're in the most miserable place possible. So you put your feet on the bottom and you push up and you swim to the top, and the pressure becomes less and less and the stress becomes less and less, and you can see the light at the top, and you know any moment you're going to breathe. And then as you get closer to the top and you're swimming up, and you can feel your life starting to change, because now the surface of the water comes at you as you swim up towards it and you break through and you feel so damn good that you made it. You will make it. You will make it through it. No matter how deep the water gets, no matter how much pressure is on you, there's a point, there's a threshold that you will not be able to feel any worse. And you have an opportunity to have this breakdown because you just can't feel any worse. So I'm just going to break down. I don't know what else to do. And right there is the breakthrough, that hit the bottom moment, and you'll swim back up and you will breathe. You will feel the release, the pressure release. And this is what happens when you allow yourself to work on your stuff. Acknowledge it when it comes up. Help yourself process it. Question it to death. Have a child's curiosity. Why is that so bad? Why are you crying about that? I don't get it. You're not being condescending. You're just like, I just don't understand. Help me understand. Become your own teacher of your own emotions, of your own memories, and you may be able to break through the surface faster and heal and feel good and change your life. It can happen. And if it doesn't happen right away, just keep an open mind, because this allows you to step in your power and continue the journey of working on yourself. Continue creating the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. That's what it's all about, because you are more powerful than you'll ever realize. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.